So after you found that, if you're able to stand, if you could please stand, now the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 28. Look here at verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for another opportunity to be able to preach, and I pray that you'd help me with the message you laid on my heart as we're going through this series. And Lord, I just want to be a help to these people and a blessing to them. Help me to be an encouragement to them. Lord, that you would use this message and also challenge us in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you, ultimately you would accomplish your will. I pray that if you would tarry, that you would be with the fellowship time afterwards in the afternoon service. And I also pray for the boys that are learning down in their class. I pray that you'd help them have understanding to be able to apply the truth of your word to their lives. I also pray for those that can't be here, that aren't feeling well. Lord, that you'd help them to get better and be able to recover. I think of those prayer requests that were mentioned. Lord, I pray that you would answer them according to your will. And thank you for the good news we're hearing of Brian, and it sounds like he's getting a little better. And I pray that you continue to give him strength. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I apologize again ahead of time of my throat a little. I'm not sick or anything. It's just sometimes my throat, I need some water to drink. It helps. Amen. And it's water. Amen. It's not coffee. Amen. But it's water. If I had coffee, I'd probably preached about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. But it's water. Amen. But anyway, Matthew chapter 28, talking about back to the basics. And this week we're going to talk about baptism. Baptism. Baptism is a major doctrine. All of them are major doctrines that we're going through. And we know when our Lord, after he died on the Calvary's cross, was buried, and then he rose again the third day, early Sunday morning as he arose, and then he was on this earth for a short period of time. And before he went back up, he gave the Great Commission to them, to the disciples. And ultimately, that Great Commission is given to us as Christians. And we know this Great Commission ultimately is going to be worked through the church. And some of these things we may hit in the next few weeks. But in verse 19, when he says, "Go ye therefore," amen, talking about missions, amen. Can I tell you, there is a need for missions all across this world. You know what's really sad? This is really sad. There's missionaries on foreign countries that God has put in their heart to be missionaries to America. We have people from other countries that are missionaries coming to America. Why? Because America has continuously turning away from God. Can I tell you, that is sad when you think about it, because the truth of the matter is, we still are, amen, the launching point of sending out a lot of missionaries. But God's saying, "Hey, America, wake up," amen. But missions, all of us should be a part of missions, amen. Now, God may never call you to be a quote-unquote missionary, as in to go to another place or to start a church. But the reality is, we could still have a part to pray for missionaries. We still have a part to give to our missions, amen. Pray for your brothers and sisters. We have Brother Jeff Colt that goes to India, and he risked his life when he goes to India there. Matter of fact, if you go out and try to find his information on the website, you go out and try to find his information, his page, he took it off. He had to take it down from the website, and the best of my knowledge reason being is because the Hindus are looking for him. They are looking for Brother Jeffco. So please keep him in prayer as he's over there. I know the media will tell you they're loving people, but the truth of the matter is, they find him, they will beat him up, similar as to what they've done to other Christians that have gone over there to preach the gospel. But anyway, keep him in prayer. When you see here, there's other things that he mentioned, talking about teaching, amen. Can I tell you one thing that's lacking is discipling, amen. As a church, God is the one that gave it to us, but discipling, amen. Training, amen. What is important? Well, he said in verse 20, teaching them to observe All things, amen. Dr. Hamlin that comes up here and visits, keep him in prayer. He's not doing too good with his heart, with the cancer. So I don't know if he'll be able to make it up this year for a revival meeting or not. Right now my thought is probably not. But anyway, he says all means all, and that's all means, amen. But the truth is, God wants us to teach everything. Everything in this book is important. It's here for a reason, amen. So we should be teaching that doctrine, amen, training. But what we're going to be talking about this morning is what he said here in verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and it's here, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One part of the Great Commission is get someone saved. Amen. Follow in baptism. Amen. And then after that, to disciple them. Amen. Can I tell you that it is the Great Commission? So we're going to be talking about baptism. Turn over here to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 23. The book of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23. There's a misconception. There's churches that are out there will teach that baptism, you need to be baptized to be saved. We do not believe it. Amen. That is not doctrinally accurate. Amen. You will not find that in the scripture. But there's a lot of churches that teach that. Amen. But look here what the Bible says in Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23. Look down here at verse 39. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with your Bible, and we know this is when our Lord was dying on the cross, and when He was dying, there was two thieves that was dying with Him. Look here in Luke, chapter 23. Hopefully I get it right, amen, and keep going back to Matthew. I'm not there yet. But Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. If you go back and read the account, the truth of the matter is, both of them did it. Amen? Both of them did it at one time as they were dying there. They were mocking Him and railing on Him. But over a period of time, as Jesus was dying on the cross, this one thief saw Him, something different in Him. As they were there, and you imagine, I can't imagine being crucified. How painful and agony that would be. And those thieves, as they were mocking, that one thief over a period of time was setting in that he was going to die. And he just kept on looking to Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, he saw something different in Him. He didn't hear Him saying, take me down from the cross. You know, the truth of the matter is, He's God. If He wanted to, He could come down from the cross, amen. He could have called 10,000 angels, amen. But He was there for you and me, amen. And as that thief continued to watch Him, and that one thief mocked Him and said, hey, if you're the Christ, take us down. The Bible says in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked Him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. There, think about it, amen. He's recognized. You can see how his heart has changed, amen. Justly. What is he saying? I'm guilty. I deserve this, amen. I deserve what I'm getting, this just punishment, amen. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, amen. When people think about Jesus Christ, he is sinless, amen. The Son of God. I heard a statistic I was reading. And now, my other job I do, I work with numbers all day. I tell people I'm a numbers geek, amen, and that's okay. I love numbers. And I know statistics, you can make statistics kind of say anything you want, amen. It depends on the eyes of the beholder, amen. You can switch things around. Trust me, I see it where people try to switch things. But anyway, there's a statistic out there that says, almost 50% of those who claim to be Christians, I think it was the Pew Research, almost 50% believe that Jesus Christ sinned. My friends, can I tell you, if you're a Christian, a true born-again believer, amen, there's no way that you're going to see the Son of God as a sinner. He's God, amen. You can't see that. He had to be just when He died, amen. But it's sad there's people that believe that, amen. But anyway, he saw this, that he was perfect. He saw he was sinless. He saw he was there for the reason to die on the cross for his sins. Amen. And look what the Bible says in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Here was he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save him. Amen? He wasn't trusting in himself. He wasn't trusting in his works. Anything. He turned to the Lord, realizing that he was a sinner, realizing that he was guilty, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And look what the Lord said here in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today, amen, shalt thou be with me in paradise. That day. Why? Because he was dying. Amen? My friends, I want you to see here, ultimately, because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he was saved that day. You know one thing you do not see in this scripture, and you will not find in this scripture, was this thief that was ultimately hanging on the cross, and repented of his sins, turned to Jesus Christ to save him, put his faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus saved him. You do not read of him saying, telling to the Roman guards that were there, hey, can you take me down? I need to get baptized. Hey guys, can you get me off the cross? I need to go down and get baptized. No, you won't find that. Amen? You won't find that anywhere. Why? Because baptism does not save you. Amen? Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that believe that. You know, when America, before we were founded, amen, and when Christopher Columbus came over and others and the settlements that was here, do you know right before, I have a hard time saying the war that we were in, what is it, begins with an R? You can say it, amen. There you go, amen. For whatever reason, sometimes I'm tongue-tied. I can't say that word, amen. But you know before that, that ultimately when we were here, you know, we were here because of freedom, amen. We wanted to serve God freely. We didn't want people to dictate us, the government to dictate us, saying we had to worship how they did, amen. But ultimately when we came over, do you know at the beginning there was great persecution of Christians over the doctrine of baptism? Do you know that there was people as pastors that were thrown into prison because of their beliefs? They're saying that baptism will not save you. Do you know there was people that were thrown into prison because they rejected infant baptism? You read, the Book of Fox of Martyrs, amen? You read through that, some of them that suffered great persecution, amen, over baptism. But the truth of the matter is, baptism will never save you. That thief on the cross did not say, hey, get me down. You imagine if he would have told that to the Roman guards? Excuse me, guards, can you get me off the cross so I can get baptized? Oh, yeah, sure, let me do that. Amen. There was no way. Amen. Why? Because baptism does not save you. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. See, salvation is by faith. Amen? Faith. Not of works. The Bible says over here in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look down here at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12. That we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Amen? But you can see here what happened. The Word of God was given. They heard the Word of truth. They heard the gospel. And what did they do? They responded. How did they respond? They believed. And as soon as they believed, the Bible says they were sealed. Amen? You won't see anything that it talks about baptism. Look over here to chapter 2, down in chapter 2 and verse 8. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, For by grace are ye saved through faith. Amen? And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? What is it? It's by faith. You can go to other verses, and you think when Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus, most of us remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Remember he came to Jesus by night, and as he was coming there, God knew his heart. Amen. What was on his mind, and he was talking about how he was a great teacher and everything, and Jesus looked at him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Amen. You cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus asked that question, well, how can a man be born again? Amen. paraphrasing here, amen, that he had to go back into his mother's womb. And then he continues to go on and says that you have to be born of what is it? Born of water, amen. I have never been pregnant, never will be pregnant. Amen to that, amen. But I do know that my mom told me, amen. Now, she was pregnant, amen, because I'm here, amen. But ultimately, her water broke. Amen. Born of water, amen. It's talking of physical, amen. Now, I know that I like dogs, amen. And cats, cats are okay, amen. But that's just me, amen. Everyone has a difference of opinion. I really like fish, amen. You can't go wrong with fish, amen. They're great, amen. Or pet rocks, amen. You can't beat pet rocks, amen. They never make any mistakes, amen. It's the people that picks them up and throws them, amen. But you never have to worry about spending a lot of money to feed them, amen. Pet rocks, amen. They're great. Young people say, no way, amen. That's kind of odd when you think about someone actually bought a pet rock, amen. But I guess people will spend money on anything, amen. But what I'm saying is this. It's a physical birth, amen. Faldo, I like dogs, amen. But your dog cannot be saved, amen. When you think about it, cats cannot be saved, amen. They were not made in the image of God. But it's a physical birth. When ultimately, at conception, amen, that is a life. And ultimately, when you think about it, they may not born, amen, but they're still in the water, amen. And the truth of the matter, it talks about a physical birth, and also it talks about what? It talks about a spiritual birth. The only way to be spiritual born is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ to save you. Amen? That's it. It's not by works. It's not by joining the church. It's not by giving money. It's not going down to the river and being baptized. But you know, a lot of people believe that. There's a lady that singer, Carrie Underwood, I think her name is. She has a song that's out there, and I wouldn't listen to it. But anyway, that song, she says there's something in the water. And what she's talking about is she's talking about baptism. And she's talking about that song that's out there. And what is that? She's saying if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. Can I tell you, there's so many churches that believe you've got to be baptized. I remember talking to a friend who's a Catholic. And I remember as I was talking to him, he was telling me, I said, well, what do you guys believe? Amen. Just, you know, and he said, well, you got to be baptized. I said, well, you got to be baptized. He said, you have to be baptized to wash away your sins. And then I gave him this verse. I said, well, do you have a minute? And you guys can turn too. Amen. Look over here to the book of Matthew chapter 3. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, book of Matthew chapter 3. He said, that's what baptism does. Baptism washes away your sins. So I asked him, I said, well, let me read a few verses to you. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 3, down here at verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Verse 15, Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer that it might be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open upon him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I read those verses and asked him, I said, well then, if baptism washes away your sins, why was Jesus Christ baptized? And we were over the phone talking. You could imagine, if I would have had one of those phones that you could see people, I could just imagine him sitting back. I remember as I was reading him, he was like, oh my. Amen. That doesn't make sense. Amen. Why? Because the truth of the matter, baptism does not save you. Amen. You can go to other verses. Amen. Look over here to the book of Luke. Over here to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8. In Luke, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 8. Amen. I had Matthew in my mind and I have Luke. Amen. I'm in Acts. I promise you I'm in Acts. Amen. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, amen. I apologize. One thing for sure, I am not perfect, amen. And I look at something, sometimes my brain thinks something different. I guess I'm just a little behind, Amen. But Acts chapter 8, look down here at verse 34. Bible says, and the eunuch answered him and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. That's what our preaching should be about. Should be about him. And they went on their way and they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip saith, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and eunuch, and he baptized him. Amen. Why? What was it that Philip said to the evangelist? He said, before you get baptized, are you saved? Amen. See, the truth of the matter is, baptism will never save you. Baptism is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. His death, his burial, and resurrection. Amen. See, baptism is after salvation. That's why we reject infant baptism. You will never find anywhere in this Bible about infant baptism. You won't find it. I remember one time talking to a lady that was here, and she just had a little baby. Amen. I don't like holding babies when they're really small. Amen. Because I'm afraid if I hold a little baby that's a little small, I'm going to break them or something. Amen. That's just me. Amen. Ladies love babies. Amen. And my niece just had a baby. And that baby, I mean, it's really, really small. And my brother, just like me, I asked him and I told him, I said, were you holding the baby? He said, no, I'm waiting until it grows a little bit bigger. Amen. But that's just me. Amen. That's how I am. Ladies, you probably love them, amen, and I love babies too, amen, just like when I'm getting bigger. But I remember running into a lady that said that, and she said that she just had a baby, and I'm thinking, praise the Lord, that's great, amen, God blessed you with a child. And she said, and I was witnessing to her and telling her about the Lord, and one of her first responses is, I need to get to church. I said, well, praise the Lord, good, that's great, amen. And she said, here's the reason. She said, because I got to get my baby baptized. And I asked her, I said, well, ma'am, if I may, why are you going to get your baby baptized, you know? Because the thought was, well, if I get my child baptized, then ultimately they'll be saved. And talking to us, I said, well, ma'am, glad that you brought it up, amen. And if you're going to ask my opinion or bring it up, I'm going to tell you, amen. And I went through and I said, you know, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible that says about infant baptism. I said, the truth of the matter is, the only thing that you'll ever find in this Bible, it talks about baptism after salvation. Now, I believe your child is probably very smart. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, they're not of the age of understanding that they understand. What is the age of accountability? I don't know when someone received Christ. Amen. I have heard people being 5 years old, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Are they saved? If they truly believed in Jesus Christ to save them, they're saved. Amen. But I can tell you this, when someone's an infant, they don't understand. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, that's the mentality of people. Back when I was saying, back in the 1600s, the 1700s, you go even before that, there was people that were dying. You go back and read history. You know what we learn from history? We never learn from history. Amen? That's what it seems like. But there was people dying. Why were they dying? It's because there were preachers that were saying when someone got saved, they had to be baptized. Matter of fact, the name Anabaptist is a name, and you go back through history, Anabaptist is a name where they referred to a church. And ultimately what they were saying is they used that as a term, as a mean term for those that believed in baptism after salvation. Because they were saying that they rejected infant baptism. Well, the reality is, yes, we reject it. Why? Because it is not Scripture. Amen. I remember talking to a lady that I work with, another lady, and as I was talking to her, she went to the Methodist church, and she was saved. Amen. The truth of the matter is, if you believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, amen, you're saved. Amen. If you're saved, there's going to be changes in your life. But she went to a Methodist church, and the church she went to, again, she was saved. She trusted in Christ. They baptized children. And I asked her, I asked her name, I said, I know you're a Christian, I know you believe in the Bible. Why is it that you do that? I'm just wondering, amen. I'm not being mean, I'm just really wondering. And I said, can you show me where? Amen. Because the truth of the matter is, if someone could show me from the Scripture, I'll change my mind. Amen. And I remember she said, well, it's not there. And I remember they went and talked to their pastor, and it's not there. You'll never find it. Amen. And the truth of the matter is this. it's tradition. It's brought on other things that people have done. But you won't find it. Amen. You won't find it in Scripture. Why? Because what did he say? You have to be saved. Amen. Now when someone's saved, yes, they should be baptized. Here it was after he got saved. What did they do? They went down into the water. We can see the mode of baptism is what the Bible says. We see it with Jesus Christ. We see it here with this man. What did they do? They got off their chariot. They went down into the water. And what does the Bible say? When he came up out of the water, by immersion. Amen. So ultimately, he took him into the water, took him down, brought him up. Amen. It's death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not a fan, amen, when doing funerals, amen. I'm happy those that know Christ as their Savior, but what I'm saying is it's hard because your heart, you feel for people, amen. You know, when my grandma died, you know, that was hard to do her funeral. I know what my grandma is, amen. I know she's in a better place, amen. I know she would never want to come back here. But what I'm saying is it's hard, it's difficult. But I can tell you this, every single funeral I have done, every single funeral I have ever gone to, when they have taken that person, they have taken them, they put them into the ground that's there, and they have never ultimately took just a little bit of ground and just poured it on them. Never done that, amen. They have never taken them and just sprinkled some dirt across them, amen. And the truth of the matter is, later on, what they should do, amen, is wait, amen, till everyone's gone, and then ultimately they'll take dirt and cover it up, amen. Why is that? Because baptism is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. The death, burial, resurrection, amen. And what we could see here, that's what they did. They went down into the water. And he came up, amen. When we read about Jesus, what was it that he did? When he came up out of the water, amen. So it's by immersion. The word itself, I can't remember the Greek word, but if you, baptismo or something like that, I can't remember. But that's what it refers to, immersion, amen. So it's immersion. So we can see the mode here, scripturally, is by complete immersion. I look over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 6, I believe it is. In Romans chapter 6. Now as we read through here, you have to remember, I'll explain as we come back. Look here in Romans chapter 6 in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Can I tell you, when you get saved, God does not want you to continue to sin. Amen? I have heard that. I have people say, as me as a pastor, that I believe or give liberty to people to sin. You will never hear that here. Amen? I hate sin. The truth is, God hates sin. Amen? It gets under my nerves when someone says, talk about someone, they'll say alternative lifestyle that's out there, that you, when you preach against homosexuality and say it's wrong, they say you hate someone. The truth of the matter is, I do not hate anyone. Amen? Well, hate the devil. Amen. I do hate him. Amen. But I don't hate anyone. I hate sin. Amen? The truth of the matter is, God Almighty hates sin too. There's verses that you can go to where God said in the book of Revelation, he said, "I hate the deeds." I think it was the Nicolaitans, I believe, in Revelation chapter 2. He said, "I hate the deeds." In the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, it talks about how he hates, amen, sin. We know he loves people, amen. And the truth of the matter is, that's how we should be as Christians. We hate sin, amen, but we love people, amen. He goes in verse 2, he says, "God forbid." It goes, "How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein?" Amen. What's it saying? We should live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. It says in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Speaking of a spiritual baptism. Amen. It goes on and says, "For we are buried with him by baptism into death." So when you think about baptism, what is it? It's a picture. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with them, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You continue to read through that chapter, what the Bible talking about. Keep sin out of your life. Keep the power, amen, the dominion. Sin does not have that power. Does that mean you'll never see it again? No, we will, amen. That's not a liberty. That's not saying to go out and sin, amen. It's the truth. We have that sin nature. In the next chapter, Paul, that he said, "Oh, wicked man that I am, amen. Oh, wretched man that I am." Why was that? Because he was that battle that he had, the spirit and the flesh. It goes through and says not to sin, amen. But we could see it speaks of baptism. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us, amen. His death, burial, and resurrection. Can I tell you, when someone gets saved, what we should do is follow in baptism. You know, it was a command that was given. We read in Matthew chapter 28, what was one of the things? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Amen? See, it's a command. God wants someone to follow in baptism. Now, if someone doesn't get baptized, do they still go to heaven? Yes. If they believed in Jesus Christ, amen, as their personal Savior, they will, amen. But God wants it to be obedient to follow in Him. Can I tell you, at one time, there was a where people were baptized in other nations. This is true, amen. In America, I'm thankful for America, amen. If you don't know about now, I love America, amen. I truly do. I may not like some of the things that are going on in America, but I'm thankful I woke up this morning and I'm still in the good old USA, amen. I love America. But you know, in other places, there's people that will get saved, and when they get baptized, their families disown them. The Jewish people, when they got saved, you read through the book of Acts, and some of the things where you read, and what you'll see is they took their possessions and they divided within people. Why? Because when those Jewish people said that they accepted Christ as their Savior, and they identified with Christ, they saw Him being baptized, they said, "Hey, you're dead to me." There's Jewish people today that will do that. Amen. There's other countries where not even Jewish will see someone accept Christ and ultimately try to destroy him, to kill him. Over in India, where Brother Jeffco goes, if a Hindu is converted to Christianity, ultimately they can go to prison for over 3 years. Can you imagine that? I told you before, there was pastors that went there and preached the gospel, and they found them. And what did they do? They beat them up, threw them into prison, and told them ultimately, "Don't ever come back to our country." But we could see baptism is after. It's a picture. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. Look down here, verse 39. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. It says, "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as their Lord our God shall call." Amen. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Amen. He preached to them. Amen. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. It was saying those who were saved. Amen. Those that were accepted Christ were baptized. And the same day there were added unto him about 3,000 souls. Well, you see here, baptism was after. Amen. Can I tell you, I want you to think in your Christian life, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, what God wants you to do next is to be baptized. I remember hearing a story of this one gentleman, his brother Jeff Cody, amen. He's on my mind, so keep him in prayer. But he told a story of this gentleman, ultimately, who took the name of Hitler. Can you imagine that? Someone taking a nickname as Hitler? That wicked man. But ultimately, he took the name of Hitler. And this guy was just, they said, very, very wicked man. There was a time where ultimately his he did something, and his wife, I think it was his wife or his son, pulled out a gun and shot at Hitler. And ultimately, his own wife said, because he went down, his own wife said, "He deserved it." Now, they didn't hit the guy that was there. But anyway, I was just telling you, this man is wicked, amen? Very, very wicked man. Someone went to talk to Hitler. Sat down to Hitler, amen? And not that Hitler, amen? But this guy that took on the name as Hitler. and led him to Christ. And after this man got saved, no longer wanted to be called Hitler, amen. Wanted to be identified with that. They claimed that he was a mountain man. That when people heard that he was saved, and the next Sunday at church, he was going to be baptized. They said there was people from all around the mountains that came to see, well, they said, Hitler to be baptized. And Hitler went into that baptistry, and they took him down, and by immersion, brought him back up, amen. But it was a picture of what Christ did. That's what Romans chapter 6, the newness of life. What was he saying? I identify with Christ. Amen. My friends, can I tell you, see, the truth is, when we get saved, we should be willing to get baptized. Why? Because of obedience, because God said so, amen. That's good enough, amen. But what we're saying is, we identify, we are a Christian. I am no longer the person I used to be, amen. Does that mean I'll sin? Unfortunately, yes, amen. I battle my old nature, but ultimately it's out of obedience. Here was these people that received this word, that were saved. What do? They got baptized. See, one of the things that is given to the local church is what? Baptism. Amen? But I can tell you this. You go out and read and you see there's so many different things about baptism where people believe baptism will save you. Baptism will not save you. Amen? I've heard people say, you as Baptists, you believe baptism will save you. Well, you won't ever hear from here. Amen? Because we do not believe baptism will never save you. If baptism will save you, why was Jesus Christ baptized? Amen? If baptism will save you, why was the thief on the cross never baptized? Amen? The truth of the matter is, if baptism will save you, what did they do before our Lord died on Calvary's cross? Amen? Because they didn't get baptized back in those days. Amen? Remember what Jesus told him in John chapter 3? He said, knoweth not these things? To Nicodemus was a teacher. What was these things? In verse 16. For God so loved the world. Amen. He gave him the gospel. Amen. What was he talking about? Salvation. Amen. He wasn't talking about baptism. Amen. He was even during the time of the law. Salvation has always been the same. See, the truth is, and what we could do to relate it to our lives is this. If you're saved, God wants you as obedient to be baptized. Scripturally. Amen. It's the first act of obedience to be baptized. And the truth is, after you're baptized, what God wants you to do is ultimately become part of a church. And after you become a part of a church, what does He do? He wants you to grow to be disciple. Amen? Can I tell you, sadly, most people won't use the Bible as their God anymore. Most people will look and say, but I know what I believe, but it's not in this book. My friends, can I tell you, what we need to do is follow what God said, His plan. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for another wonderful day that You have granted us. I thank You for watching over us. Lord, thank You for Your Word. And Lord, there's so many other verses I could have went to this morning, but this is where You led me. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us as Christians to live for You. Help us as Christians to stand up for You. Help us on this matter, Lord, to be able to tell others what the Bible teaches about salvation, what the Bible teaches about baptism. And Lord, help us to stand for You. Well, thank You for all that You have done. We ask all in Jesus' precious name, with eyes closed and no one looking, if You're able to stand to Your feet.